Get our Bibles in our hands ready this morning. Brother Goddard, if you come, please, sir. We're so thankful for the opportunity to have him with us. I've asked him to preach this morning and this evening, as a matter of fact. Brother Goddard has become a very dear friend and someone very special to me and to our church. Over 30 years ago, he was very instrumental in encouraging us to come and to start this church. The first Sunday in August, we'll be 30 years old. We started in a Grange Hall building over on Airport Road. The Lord blessed us there, and over the years, Brother Goddard has been a very good and dear friend, and we appreciate him very much. So I'm not going to take a lot of time on the introduction. I want to give him all the time we can to preach this morning, and he'll be here again tonight. I want to encourage you to be with us. So, Brother Goddard, thank you for coming this morning. You come preach to us.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Johnson. Appreciate that. If you take a Bible, look over to 1 Thessalonians with me, and you'll find that. And like he said, I'll be back tonight. I'd like to say more than there's enough time. You know, it's the saddest thing. If there's a extra innings in a baseball game, we love it. If there's a fight that goes long, we love it. But if the preaching goes long, something wrong in America, isn't it? Something really wrong in America. We've got some folks from the South that attend our church, and they're up. They're not older, because 50's younger, isn't it? 50 is looking really young, but they were in the South 50 years ago, and they said they'd have 3-4 offerings. They'd count the offering, and if it wasn't enough, they'd have another couple of offerings. They'd have preaching and then more preaching. In fact, one of my friends was down in a church just not long ago in that area, and he said, I preached a pretty good sermon lengthwise. It is probably 45 minutes for a Sunday morning. And I sat down, and one of the deacons came up and said, Brother, here, we're used to preaching. And the deacon preached another 45 minutes. And anyway, but that's not where most of us live. If you find 1 Thessalonians 3 and hold that, and let me just say quickly, I'll mention a little bit more of this tonight. But I know some of you are not going to get out. This heat's hard on many of you with the years passing. But let me just take a moment and commend you. I remember when Brother Johnson first came out. I'm from Hay Fork. For those of you who don't know me, some of you who are here from Hay Fork or from that area, probably nobody's from Heim Palm. Are you from Heim Palm? See, Heim Palm. I worked out in Heim Palm and stayed at the Klempner's. They had a store, and there was a hotel out there. Heim Palm is the end of the road that goes beyond the end of the world. My wife was from Wildwood when it was a mill. And a mill store, and we are definitely small town. Our town's got about 10,000 people, and it's the biggest town we've ever lived in our lives, except when we were in Bible college. And but we started, and then a year later, Brother Johnson started. I got saved in Hay Fork, and started driving to Reading to Pastor Blue's church, and we would drive 65 miles with whatever teenagers we'd gather together, and drove over the mountain, and somehow parents let us go all that way without cell phones. And thank God, those were better days. BC, before cell. But anyway, we started going to church there and grew in grace. I went off to Bible college, started our church a year later. Shasta Baptist started. I was with you in the Grange Hall. I was with you at the little church down the street from that. And then I was with you somewhere, like a bunch of gypsies. You guys moved up. What was that thing up there north? I don't even know what that was. But anyway, it was a building. That's right. It's all you need is a building. And so I've been in 5 of your buildings. Is that right? You had 5? Did I miss one? This is the 5th one, right? Well, you've moved up. But thank you. Just if I could just say several quick observations. Number one, thank you for staying straight on your music. In a world of contemporary music destroying, and I hope I don't offend anybody, but I'm leaving anyway, destroying America. Many of you are old enough to remember when the Beatles came over and America was in shock. Now they're running our music programs in our churches. Thank you, and I commend you for staying straight on preaching, keeping your church a preaching church. And I commend you for the way you've used your money. Your church has stayed financially sound and solvent. And I realize it's not easy. Not over 3 decades. You know, you can do anything for a decade. But I was told, as Brother Johnson was in college, you don't measure success in years, you measure it in decades. And you reach a third decade, we see what the church is made of, pastor and his wife and his members. I admire your financial generosity toward young people and toward missions. You've given and given and given. And you know, you look at these buildings. My son and I were in the youth department. We were walking down. I said, these are beautiful buildings. And I thought, this is people's boats, extra cars, vacations, cabins. See, what the world does with what you give to God, the world buys their parties. But just so you know, we're laying up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt. The party's not started yet, okay? Your vacation cabin's being prepared, custom made for you. I admire you so much for your generosity and for keeping for 3 days. Again, these are things that are so close to my heart because last year was our 30th anniversary. How much I admire you're keeping the church after souls. The churches in America have gotten so passionate about numbers and about concerts. And they're not concerned about changed lives nearly as much as they are as long as we got a crowd and a building and the best PA system in town. But you keep the jail ministry going and you keep soul winning. That bus ministry is expensive. That monument you built to house your buses. Whatever city planners made you build that, there will be a purgatory invented for them. I don't believe in purgatory, but in the New Jerusalem, we could do what we want. And who spent 9.5 years in a tent, I have a place reserved for city planners. I hope there's no city planners here. Not you, the other ones. Remember me the Sunday I talked about lady bulldozer operators, Brother Johnson? I just used an illustration, and he introduced me to some beautiful lady who's a bulldozer operator. I said, never again. I'm never going to use any illustration again the rest of my ministry. But thank you for staying faithful. Many of you, on a day as hot as this, you're in church. And I realize Mark Moravio and I were standing back there talking. We were in high school together. And it's hot, but it doesn't bother us yet. I'm sure that day's coming. But I realize a lot of you has worked to be in church. But you know what? Everybody that sees you leave your house on Sunday morning, your testimony matters. Everybody that sees you, the young people who see you come into church, it matters. Some of you who have been around in Hayfork back when Mark and I were there, I got saved in 1975. A little tiny church could have fit in this front section. I got saved on a Wednesday and went to college on Saturday. But on the breaks when I was home before we got going to Reading to Pastor Blues, we sat in this little church. And there were about four ladies sat right over here. And these ladies were as old as Methuselah. Of course, I was 20, so they were probably about 55, but they were four gals, old-timers in Hayfork, and I'm sure they're all in heaven decades ago, but us young people, they knew those ladies. We knew those ladies would be there. That was their place, and we believe they prayed for us. We believe our church young people mattered to those who were up in years, and the gray heads matter far more than you can possibly imagine. The devil would tell you, you don't matter. And I would suggest if he told you that, then you know he's a liar. You do matter. You do matter. And I couldn't begin to tell you how important the seniors in our church are to me and to our church. Pastor Blue told me years ago when I started, he said the power of my ministry was based on the prayers of retired people. And he said when I lost some lady from a rest home that I knew was praying for me, I could sense the difference in my ministry. Pray. And stay faithful. God bless you. It's over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I'm going to have to hurry just a little, and I don't like to do that, but I will because lunch is probably calling somebody here. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, if you'd look with me, I'm going to read these first five verses. Brother Johnson, you stand when you read the scripture. Let's stand for a moment. If you're comfortable, I know some of you, you're up and down and up and down. You feel like you're in a Catholic church sometimes. No offense to the Catholics, all right, but I know at our church, a lot of these men, they got up early all week long going to work, and they need to stand up to wake up, and it's better than your wife's ballpoint pen in your ribs. And others of you, you just fall asleep if you sit very long. So read with me. You follow along as I read in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Paul is out traveling, preaching, starting church. He's writing back to the church in Thessalonica. and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor been in vain. And let's pray. Father, bless these moments. Thank you for church. Thank you for these years. I'm so grateful that as a young man not growing up in church, I was directed right after my salvation to good Baptist preaching, to an old King James Bible, to godly men and women who were our examples. In our youth, we were able to look to their faithfulness. And thank you for this church, for these decades they've stood true, for the preacher and his wife, and thank you for the countless sacrifices made. But thank you as we look back to Calvary, to that example of Christianity, a life, a selfless life of sacrifice. We could never give too much. We could never sacrifice too much. We could never be faithful enough to merit the name of Christian. What a blessing to be your children. Bless us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Keep your Bible open there if you would. And I want to run through these verses very quickly. I'd like to give you 5 points today, but we'll probably only get 3 of them, on how to stop the hurt. Now, doesn't that sound like a good idea? You hear this thing, if you have arthritis pain, send us $9.95. And, how to stop the hurt. Well, this morning I'm going to tell you how to stop the hurt. And what I'm going to tell you will work. I promise you, it will work. But it's got nothing to do with arthritis or bursitis or whatever else it is in your life. And I just want to say, I know many of you prayed for our son, Josh, over the last year. He's been through a lot of cancer treatments. So it won't take a lot of time on it, but he's doing well and strengthening and able to travel with us in this trip. And he looks like a Hulk, but I could whoop him. Maybe not. But anyway, he's doing better. But thank you. I hope you'll continue to pray for his continued strengthening. Just kind of all the treatments beat your body up so much. But I do appreciate your friendship, and I've prayed often for you and your pastor. But look with me. I'm going to run through these few verses real quickly, and then I want to give you 5 points about how to stop the hurt. There in verse 2, Paul is worried about this church. He'd only been a few months, most people say 3 months at Thessalonica. Could you imagine Brother Johnson starting Shasta Baptist and leaving 3 months later, how solid a church it would have been? Yet, Thessalonica was one of the most amazing churches. The people just rallied together and they decided to stick with the Word of God and make it happen. It was one of these things that just God moved in people's hearts. And understand this, it is God. No, it's not us. I was thinking as the special was being sung of sitting in Hayfork and Hayfork High School struggling to be able to know how to read. And my life was definitely not, I wasn't in any trouble, but I wasn't on a course to be anything anywhere. And I wasn't a failure. I mean, I was okay in school, but I just, what a wonderful thing that God would take me, move me to a college, get me to Bible college, get me around some good older men and great godly Christians. My life's been built around older Christians, and it bothers me when I see them going to heaven. I told my wife, I said, I miss having somebody older just to do what they tell me. And she grabbed my arm. She said, honey, you are the older guy now. And I said, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to trade her in on 220s. But she's only 40. But anyhow, but what a wonderful thing that I work for the Forest Service. I love the woods, love fishing and hunting and the outdoors. And that God would bring me to a place in Southern California where they don't make trees. And in a desert somewhere north of San Diego, east of L.A., not quite to Palm Springs. And not pretty, we'll just say that much, all right? But it's home. And give us a wonderful ministry and great friends and people like you for over 3 decades that have worked with us and served with us. And it's just an amazing thing that God would use us. Now understand, it's God. It's God who does it. It's God that worketh in you both to will. He gives you the want to and to do of his good pleasure. He gives you the want to do and he gives you the how to do. And let's give him all the glory. It's him that's kept Shasta Baptist on track. It's him that's kept your marriage. Boy, we just this last weekend lost one of our dear men. 66 years they'd been married. And I'll tell you about it in a moment. But But she gives all the credit to God, how good God has been to keep them together through all their trials. Now, looking at those verses real quickly, look at verse 2. Paul sent Timotheus. He said to Timothy, Timothy was a young man, like Brother Becker perhaps, Brother Williams, worked with the preacher, and he sent him to help to check on him. And he says in the end of verse 2, he says, "And our fellow laborer of the gospel to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." Now look, they needed some comfort. Why? Because life's hard. There's problems, money problems, health problems, children problems. Man, the world is an ugly place out there. And we as the people of God are in this world. This is not our home. We're on a battlefield. We're going home one day, and the sooner the better as far as I'm concerned. But understand today that we are not home. And it is rough. And he said, "I sent Timotheus to comfort you and to establish you." Verse 3. He was concerned about him. Verse 3, "that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For ye yourselves know that we are appointed thereto." Paul said, "I'm concerned." Brother Johnson, come here for a minute. I shouldn't use you. You're a football player, but I'll use you. And you just cooperate, all right? If we're playing, my son up here, he coaches our football team. If I'm going to try and move him, you play defense, huh? Yeah, well, we're going to pretend you're a lineman, and I'm trying to get the quarterback. You know what my job is? I've got to move him, and he's not going to want me to move him, and I'm going to try and move this guy. And what Paul said is, "I sent Timotheus to comfort you and establish you, and this is the church, and you know what the church is supposed to do? Not be moved." That's the job. Thank you. I'm glad I didn't have to knock him over or anything terrible like that. You know what the church, you know what I love about this church? It stayed. One reason it stayed is because it had a preacher who stayed unmovable, and a lady who stood by his side. And you have no idea the influence and the power in a preacher's wife and how you ought to pray for Mrs. Johnson and the ladies on staff, because the man cannot stand without a lady by his side. It is just, you know what, a man, and it's not just preachers, ladies, a man can stand against all the enemies of darkness if he's got somebody on his side. But I'll tell you, you get Job's wife saying, "Why don't you curse God and die?" Those are rough days. But here we read, he said, "I was concerned." Now, what was he concerned about? Look at that verse. I'm going to mess you PA guys up. I'm going to go back and forth on these mics. Verse 3, "that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For ye yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." The church should not move. We don't need to change. We don't need an emerging church. We don't need a changing church. We don't need a new style of church. You know, we need the same. Paul told Timothy, "Those things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." The same. God is a consistent, immovable God. And God wants his church to stay rock solid in their philosophies, in their values. Look, if you would, at verse 4. I'm going somewhere. "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation." It's life. Look at the last couple of words in verse 3. "We are appointed thereunto." We are appointed like you have a doctor's appointment. Now understand this. Mrs. Smith over here has had an appointment with eye problems, with the tribulation. Now, what could you do? Look. Take off her, you know, take her husband. No, I'm joking. But a lady who's lived for music and lived to teach and lived to train young people, and for this appointment of eye problems to come. Ms. Smith, I was last night sitting wondering if I'd see you at the piano today. It matters. Now, it may be there's a day she's in the pew and not at the piano. But we do matter. You do matter. And we should not be moved by this. Look, you're appointed. Everybody here has got afflictions. You're appointed afflictions. And you might say, "Why?" It's not a sermon on why. I'm going to tell you how to stop the hurt in a minute. But the issue is, Paul's saying to that church, "I sent Timothy to comfort you and to establish you so that you would not be moved. Because we are appointed unto tribulations." And somebody's got arthritis problems, and somebody's got diabetes problems, and somebody's got eye problems, and somebody's got degenerative discs. And in a room like this, I bet we have got the whole list, don't we, Brother Johnson? I think here, yesterday there was a funeral here, and you think of somebody's
kitchen table's empty this morning. Those are terrible days to have to face. You can't fix that. Now, that's where we live. Those are lonely hours. And when the doctor tells you, we don't know if we've done all we can do, and we don't know what else to do. And so Paul said, I'm worried. I'm concerned about you, church. I don't want you to be moved by these afflictions. And he says there in verse 5, for this cause, what was the cause? I'm concerned about the troubles you're facing. I'm concerned about you, you who have faced terrible battles. And in verse 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor been in vain. Now, let me explain real quickly. I'll be the Apostle Paul here, and if I had my teenagers, I'd use them, but I'll just you follow me. Here's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul trained the people in Thessalonica, and he got them started. And the people in Thessalonica were to train others and to win others and start other churches. And Paul said, my job was to train you so you'd train others so they'd train others. That is the work of the church. And that is, the church isn't a big blob. It's a bunch of people that matter. People with grandkids they're worried about, and people with retirements they're worried about, and people that their political leaders are crazy men. And a few of us might have that accidentally happen to us. So Paul's word. Now what he said there in verse 5, he said, I sent to know, I want to know how you're doing, to know your faith, lest by some means a tempter have tempted you and our labor have been in vain. Now, you know, the devil comes along and causes you. And I'm not going to discuss whether it's God who caused it or the devil caused it or God. Look, the fact is trouble comes and God knows what's going on. Trouble does come and God does know what's going on. So this trouble enters into our life. Now, the tempter is coming to your door. The tribulation is, there's an appointment, like a doctor's appointment. You've been appointed. The day is coming. The car accident you didn't think would come. The layoff. One of our men this week lost his job. And I mean an upper level white collar. I don't know what he's going to do. That day is going to come. The early retirement is going to come. And you're not going to know what to do. But the devil comes along and brings those trials to make the labors in vain. Now, let me tell you, in five quick, maybe only three quick points, how to stop the hurt. I'm going to give you five quick things. Number one, hurt hurts. You okay with that? That's not hard to explain, right? You stub your toe in the dark, it hurts. Hit your thumb with a hammer, it hurts. Some of our teenagers were down in Santa Clara at the youth conference this last week, and my son's 14, he's somewhere on the property, I don't know where, smoking cigarettes with the youth director or something, but we're walking down a sidewalk, just he and I, we're walking along talking. I think it's great that my teenager likes to talk to me, and we're just walking along, street there, we're on the sidewalk, there's a park there right near North Valley Baptist Church, we're walking along, and we're looking at this big some concession stand or something at the park, and a sign, the ministry of North Valley Baptist Church. We're trying to figure out, is it a public school, is it a public park, what it is. And what my son didn't realize is that out in front of him grew instantly a bus stop sign. He's looking this way, and right when he turned around, that thing jumped right out and slapped him right square in the head. And he spun around and just about fell over. We were walking pretty fast. And there's the bus stop, of course, because of the bus stop sign. And he just sat there. I thought, I don't know if he's going to cry or pass out or have a concussion. And he just sat there. I said, look, just wait here. I'll go get the car. God appointed it. I don't know. The devil appointed it. I don't know, but I know this hurt hurts. All right, we okay? Can I skip point one? Hurt hurts. We all know hurt hurts, right? Point number two. The reason the devil works so hard at hurting you is not to hurt you. Now, let me explain. Brother Evans, let me use you, because you're young and athletic and agile, and I can push you around. No, I won't do that. Now, here's Brother Evans. Now, Brother Evans' job is to keep Brother Johnson out of trouble. Isn't that his position mainly? I don't know what he does here. What do you do here?
I don't know.
I should have used your wife. let's just say he's a Sunday school teacher here, all right? And I'm going to come along, and you were the principal.
Yes.
All right. You're not now, though. That was a smart move. Principal and the nursery superintendent are the two worst jobs in the whole ministry. Now, if I'm the devil, and what I want to do, I want to hurt this guy. But you want to know why I want to hurt him? Now, does the devil enjoy seeing him hurt? Sure. But you know what I really want? I don't want him to teach that class. Paul talked about, I'm concerned that my labor not be in vain. I want to establish you. Look, you're appointed to some troubles and tribulation, but I don't want my labor to be in vain. I want you to continue on. And if I can get him discouraged, so he just says, you know what, I'm done. I'm done with that bus route. I'm not teaching. You know what? I can't run a bus route anymore. The devil says, ha! The hurt. Because the hurt, he can't change the hurt, folks. You're getting old, aren't you? Not yet. Either gray or gone, one or the other. It's happened to the best of us. Now, the hurt that I inflict on him, it's going to hurt that bus route. It's going to hurt that Sunday school class. It's going to hurt the choir. It's going to hurt the church nursery. You see, I'm going to hurt him. This hurt right here, it's an appointment. He can't change it. But you know what he can do? He can stop it. So number one, when he gets hurt, the hurt hurts. Paul said, you're appointed thereto. But I sent Timothy to comfort you, lest our labor should be in vain. Because when this hurt hurts you, I don't want you to hurt the next guy. Thank you, Brother Evans. Now, understand this. You can't stop the hurt. You're going to hurt. You and I are going to struggle. We're going to suffer. We're going to get beat up. We're going to have health problems. We're going to have kid problems. Paul wrote over in 1 Corinthians 7, talked about a unbelieving depart. Your spouse might have left you. Those hurts, those are beyond comprehension hurts. But the hurt isn't just to hurt you. The hurt's to hurt somebody else. Number two, the reason the devil works so hard at bringing hurt into your life is so that he can hurt your work. God put you on this planet for a reason. You're not here just to sit. You're here to do something. And you may not even know what it is you do. To run the PA, to sing in the choir, to clean the buildings, to mow the lawns, to work in the jail or the rescue mission or the rest home or whatever. But you're here. You're a bus mechanic. And your influences, first two people to walk me in the doors of a church were both my grandmas. You're the grandma. First person to ever talk to me about prayer was my grandma at bedtime. When we were together, she and my brother and I, and she talked about prayer, and we learned about prayer from my grandmother years before I was saved. Look, you're here for a reason. The hurt comes not to hurt you, but to hurt your work. So number one, the hurt hurts. Number two, there's a reason for the hurt. It's to bring that hurt into the lives of others. Number three, if I let my hurt hurt you, I just became the devil's partner. Now, right? Brother Ms. Johnson, in 30 years, they've had problems. I don't know what they've had. But I know this, if he'd have let the hurt hurt him and he quit, there'd have been a whole lot of hurt done beyond that. See, this morning I'm talking about how to stop the hurt. And a decade ago or two decades ago, you probably had at least two problems, right, Brother Johnson? How many children do you have? No, never. every child's a trial. But every building is a problem. Every building inspector's a problem. And had Brother Johnson just said, you know what? We're at the Grange Hall. I'm done. If God won't help me get this thing together, I'm done. Then the hurt not only hurt him, it hurt every soul that would have been saved the last 25 years. You see, and he would be partnering with the devil. Because what's the devil want to do? Hurt people. That's what the devil's goal is, to hurt people. And so the devil hurts Brother Johnson. And now there's a good godly wife who's struggling because her husband's struggling. And then there's a Sunday school class or a bunch of deacons or there's a nursery or whatever. And so the devil comes along and he hurts you. And you've got to decide if you're going to stop the hurt. But if you let the hurt get you discouraged, bitter, angry, hateful, revenge in your mind, and I'm so mad my spouse treated me so wrong, and they did me wrong, and I spew bitterness everywhere. Now the hurt continues to hurt. Does that make sense? This is not real hard, right? It's hard to live. It's easy to understand. The hurt got to stop with me. That's why Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Number one, the hurt hurts. Number two, the reason the devil works at hurting you is not to hurt you, but to hurt your work. Number three, if I let my work, my hurt, hurt my work, then I'm partnering with the devil and he and I are going off into the next generation, hurting the next generation. Number four, if I can stop the hurt, then the hurt doesn't hurt them. I can't stop the hurt from hurting me. I can't talk much about it, but I can tell you my son and daughter-in-law have never complained. And they had reason to complain. Never heard them complain through what they've been through the last couple years. I've never heard your pastor and his wife complain. I've heard my wife complain. No, not really. She lives with me. She's got reason to complain. But see, if I can just stop it, I'm not going to get bitter. That's why Paul talks about what sort of things are true and pure and honest and just. And if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why? Because I can't get into that world of complaining and bitterness and anger and wrath and jealousy. Because if the hurt's going to hurt me. But the goal of the devil is to get me to partner with the devil to hurt the next generation. So if I can stop the hurt, if I can say, you know what? I cannot help the fact that I'm hurting, but I can stop the hurt from hurting the next generation. I can stop this from hurting my children. Many of you have been through this, but I watched my dad leave when I was in the fourth grade. And my mom got up the next morning and went to work. And I'm sure my mom cried. We never have talked about it. Obviously, it's been a long time ago. But my mom didn't hurt her kids. She didn't. She worked, did what she could to provide for us, went to my ball games when I was a teenager, helped with our stupid FFA projects and, you know, whatever. She's my mom. Did she hurt? Yes, she hurt. But my mom didn't go through the rest of our life saying, well, you know, if your dad hadn't left, and if your dad had more money, and if your dad, she didn't do that. I never heard her talk about him. You know what? Look, we can't stop the hurt. It happened. But we can stop the hurt. Because somebody needs you. Somebody needs you. Patty Hatch, this week, I sat in the hospital, tubes all over her husband. And I said, how you doing, Ms. Hatch? And she said, Pastor, God gave us 66 years. How could I complain? There's a nurse right there, always a nurse with her husband, Bill. And that nurse looked over. You know what? Patty was working. Because the devil was hurting her. She watched her husband of over six decades on a respirator. And I've never seen so many machines hooked up to a man. He'd had a bypass surgery on Monday and was doing well. Wednesday, he had kidney and liver failure. And as we sat there, the devil was working on her. And I sat next to her. And there's a nurse with this man. And here I am sitting next to her. We just hit our 32nd anniversary. I thought we'd been married a long time. They've been married a long time. And she said, Pastor, look how good God's been. Look at the years we've been in church. And look at how we've been able to serve him together. And right in front of us, her husband, right between heaven and earth. She said, how could I ever complain to God? You know what? The hurt stopped with Patty Hook. She stopped that thing. She determined, nobody's getting hurt because I'm getting hurt. She was not punishing anyone in the room with her hurt. She couldn't stop it, but she wouldn't go any further with it.
And I believe that if we will understand that, that if I stop the hurt, then I won't hurt anybody else. I think of Brother Johnson here, 30 years. Do you know if he'd have gone into secular work, he probably would have been one of the best gangsters and mafia members the world had ever known. Hey, you know, 30 years, you know what he should be getting? He should be getting a pension and a retirement. He should get, what do you get those things in the secular world? Corporate stock options. And I mean, at this point, you'd be fishing. You and your wife would be somewhere other than Redding. Hawaii, right? No, Hawaii's hot. You know what? San Diego's way better than Hawaii. You know what they'd be doing? They'd be floating the next 25 years. But see, we're not in the world. We're in the world working for where we're going. We've been commanded. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness." 2 Timothy 1:8 says, "Be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel." In verse 11, he talks about persecutions and afflictions which came to him in Antioch. In 2 Timothy 4:5, Paul says, "Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions." In 1 Corinthians 13:7, of love or charity, it says, "It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." In Hebrews, it says in Hebrews 10, "Call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions." Look, hurt comes. So number one, I said the hurt hurts. Number two, the hurt doesn't come to hurt me. The hurt comes to hurt my work. And number three, if I could somehow get myself back, and if I could just bring myself back to the point of realizing that my goal is not to go on, because if the hurt hurts somebody else, I am now partnering with the devil. And I am literally a tool in the hands of the devil to hurt more people. I don't want to hurt people. But number four, if I could stop the hurt, and if I could rejoice in the Lord always, if I could keep my eyes looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, if I could keep my hope in Him and my trust in Him, the hurt stops here. And I can stop the hurt from hurting anybody else. But it gets better. If I can go on with this, and I don't have time to go into it, I'll just read you the thought and stop. If I can stop the hurt here, you know what happens to me?
2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." When you stop the hurt, you realize you can do it. You know what happens to you? You realize, hey, I did it. I did it. Brother Johnson, 3 decades is a long time ago. But you know what now? Do you feel like you got a lot to do yet? Man, I do. I think I got 2, 3 or more buildings. I got at least 2 more buildings I've got to build. I've got 2 more buildings my people have to pay for. Don't spend your money, folks. The pastor has plans for it. I did it. Look, you know what I love? I love standing in front of my young people where I've got teenagers in the youth group whose parents were teenagers in the youth group. I love that. I love that I've got 4 generations of many families in our church, and 4 generations. I look around and say, you know, man, we're doing it. Because when you stop the hurt, you realize, hey, we did it. He did it. And when that happens, he gets all the glory. Because in a church like this, realize how frail we are and how weak we are. One little thing goes wrong with the electric currents in your head. One stroke. Instantly, your body and your whole life change. Same thing with the church. You know what? This church has been preserved by the grace of God and the faithfulness of God's people seeking that God. And so, and again, I just have to stop here. But if you and I will stop the hurt, the devil loses. The hurt becomes a help. Remember when David killed Goliath? He hit him with the stone, fell down. Remember what he cut the head off with? Goliath's own sword. Remember the one of David's mighty men who went against one of the Philistines and took the spear out of the Philistine's hand and killed the Philistine with his own spear. And the devil comes along and he wants to hurt you, and he hurts you, and because he's hurting you, so you'll hurt others. He's hurting you, so you'll partner with him, and you'll carry grief to other people. But you stop the hurt and you refuse to lose your faith. And you don't get bitter, and you stay on for God, and you're reading your Bible, and you're in church, and you're where you need to be, and you're literally pulling the spear out of the devil's hand and throwing it right back at him, saying, me and the next generation, we're standing true. And you get stronger, the devil gets defeated, and God gets all the glory. We have to stop the hurt. We got to stop hurting people. You're going to hurt. We're appointed. But we can stop it by God's grace. Let's pray together. Father, help us this morning.